Lord, may your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Pray that you may hide it in our heart, Lord, that we may not get off track or sin, Lord, against you. Amen. Right. I was just reading today again over just these kingdom principles in Matthew. And so I was doing that, listening to this worship, Brian and Katie Torwald, I think that's how you pronounce their last name. They have this really, the song was playing about the simple kingdom. And I just pulled up the lyrics. It's really part of this. I mean, the one line in here is just really awesome. It starts off with that about your kingdom is simple, as simple as love. And you welcome the children. You stop for the one. And we want to see people the way you do. Your kingdom is simple. And your kingdom is humble. Humble is death. This king is a savior who gave his last breath so that we may die daily and our pride put to rest. So part of the kingdom principle, of course, is that, is a dying daily, right? Because we want the more. And what we've been talking about here, and one of the reasons where the Lord has me on this journey, is about just giving me this vision of going into a larger room, or kind of like Narnia, Chronicles of Narnia, where they went through the wardrobe to go into Narnia. Just like that, as we enter into, or God takes us into chambers or different places or different seasons into his another place in his kingdom, is that for Narnia to be such a big room, it was a very narrow entrance into the room. And so what the Lord was showing me was a doors that, or a door that when you walked into this larger place for yourself, the bigger the room, the more narrow the door was. And that meaning that you can't carry anything with you in there. You have to let it go. You have to drop it, right? It's like those, see these things where they, you know, put these, or, you know, kids will get a cookie in the, you know, in a jar, and their hand will barely reach in there, and they'll grab that cookie, and they want that cookie, but they can't get their hand out of the jar because they want that cookie, right? And the only way to get the hand out is to drop the cookie so your hand will. Kind of the same thing in reverse a little bit. We just can't go into places carrying things with us that the Lord wants us to drop. And this is the lyric here. This is the last verses of this. Is your kingdom is backwards. It flows in reverse. What you call a treasure, this world calls a curse. The small become great and the last become first. Your kingdom is backwards, Lord. Teach us to serve. It is with your kingdom. Let it be with your church. Yeah, and amen, amen, and amen. Right. Great lyrics. It's so true. The kingdom is so backwards from what the world. To become great, you become least. To be great, you serve. Right? Just all kind of things. So when you're rereading the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus had, you know, done all these healings and cast out these demons, and all these people were following him, and then he begins to teach them the kingdom. That's what he did. Everywhere he went, he talked about the kingdom, right? Even when he went seated at the right hand of God, and the guys in Acts said they went everywhere preaching about the kingdom, right? Sent them out, teaching about the kingdom. So this is about the kingdom and kingdom principles, because if we want the kingdom, again, we hear this all the time, if we want it all, then the Lord wants all of us. In order to have it all, he has to have all of us. In order to live, we die. Right? Again, just a backwards thing. So as we're, I was reading this when Jesus is I've been just kind of jumping around in here. Yesterday we talked about repentance, and blessed are those who mourn. One, blessed are the poor, right? In spirit, you can't really repent and mourn if you're not, if you don't see your need for it, right? And blessed are those who mourn, they'll be paracleted, they'll be comforted, they'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, they'll laugh. So repentance is always an awesome thing. And then we'll just stop there, and I'm going to jump over some stuff here. Down in verse 20 says, "For I say to you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." You know, and there's a lot to that, and we're not going to really talk about that. But again, their own righteousness, their self-righteousness, you know, can't get it done. And just how they treated people and stuff. So the Lord is always exposing these guys, their legalism. It says, "You have heard it said, the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. Then Jesus said this really incredible thing. But I say to you, in the kingdom, everyone who's angry with his brother will be guilty before the court, you know. And then he goes on, those who call your brother worthless or good for nothing, you know, will be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you know, you fool or whatever, will be guilty, it says, to go into the fiery hell. And then he goes, starts talking about when you're giving your offering to the Lord, you know, you're presenting your tithes and offerings to him. And you remember that you've done, it says your brother has something against you. But what that the translation there is, you know, you've done something to that person, and that person knows that you've done something to them, right? It's not something that they're totally not aware of. It's not talking about going to people and saying, you know, I forgive you. I've had people do that to me so many times. I forgive you. For what? You know? Well, you did this. I had no idea, you know? So that's not what this is talking about. What this is talking about is you're given that, right? Because what legalism does with the Pharisees is where you strain gnats and swallow camels, right? They're more about this gift you're giving and what God is at about the heart, you know? And so that's what legalism does. And I had a guy, somebody sent me something a while back, and it was about, the whole thing about was the, you know, the wine that Jesus turned into, was it alcoholic or not? And sent me to this whole, I didn't even go, I've read stuff years ago about that. You know what I'm saying? Who cares? That's what legalism does to you, you know? What difference does that make? We're not, you know, whether the wine was alcoholic or not. That's not the whole deal, right? So anyway, that's what that does to you. That's what I mean by you strain gnats and you swallow camels, right? And you're into the a religious thing doing, but you don't recognize what's big to God, right? And what's big to God is how we treat each other, right? Being angry. And when there's something between you and someone else that you've done, now he's just talking about if you say to your brother, if you're angry with him or you're you call them good for nothing, you fool or whatever, pretty much, and again, you know it, they know it. Right? You've gotten into confrontation with a Christian, a brother or sister, you know, and you blasted them and you hurt them, you know, with your tongue, you know, just, and, you know it, right? And what the Lord is saying here, I want you to see the kingdom as I see it. Go reconcile. I don't want your offering. Go reconcile. That's the offering I want, right? Then come back and then we're okay, right? I don't want your tithes and offering with you or have, bitterness or you're angry, all this stuff going on in your heart, unforgiveness or all this junk. That's big to the Lord, right? That's where, again, this kingdom is so backwards. And that's how we know whether we're, you know, as God setting us free from that, I believe, is just he's really wanting to get to the heart of some things, you know. And then he goes on here about, you know, you've heard it said about, you know, committing adultery. You know, you should not commit adultery. Then he goes on about the heart issues, about looking and you know, lusting after thing and that you've done this in your heart. And, you know, just this, can you imagine how radical these people sitting here hearing this stuff, you know, how different that is, you know? And again, he's talking about here, these heart issues, getting to these places in the heart that is, you know, and even so radical where it goes on here, you know, if you're, I think it's here in five, where it says that if you, you know, if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. Or if your foot causes you cut it off or cut your hands off or whatever, just going into such, radical, obedience to the Lord to where, you're willing to give up or let go of or anything that's hindering you, that's holding you back or keeping you from experiencing it all, right? That nothing is worth that. Nothing is, you're willing to do whatever it takes, you know, even if that means I have to chop my hand off, you know? So that's what, you know, the thing about the grace of God, what the grace of God does to us is, you know, the grace of God doesn't get me as close to something as I can get without crossing the line. Right? The grace of God makes me get so far away from that line that I can't even see it. Right? Because, because of this love thing, I want to get so far away from that because I don't want to grieve him, right? I don't want to, again, it's just like, you know, I'm just this surpassing the righteousness of the Pharisees. It says you won't enter the kingdom. So I think the Lord in the days to come with all of us is just going to be really confronting and exposing stuff, our heart, right? That's what he's trying to get to. He's trying to get to things that we, you know, where we come to go to church every day, you know, we come here every day and do this, and but it doesn't bother us how I've just talked to someone or treated to someone before I got here, or that I've come here and see someone and I have attitude with them and I'm tolerating that, right? Because it's robbing you of the kingdom. And you can't get into these places with those things going on, you know. And I don't have time to do it, and we'll do it probably a Sunday, but it made me start thinking of, especially when he's talking about being angry. You know, if you go to 1 John, it talks about that, you know, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious, you know. The one who practices righteousness is of God, and one who doesn't is of the devil. And then he goes on to say, you know, murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You know, and he's talking about the Ten Commandments there, and a lot of that, the moral law of God. And then, and he says this, I mean, he really gets it up, because John understood the love of God more, I think, than a lot of these guys. And he said that if we hate our brother, we're murderers, right? And that word hate, and you've heard me say this before, just the word to reject, to distance yourself, to reject a brother, right? Because, again, he was having to confront these things. He was confronting a lot of stuff there, you know, Gnosticism and all kind of different things. And but he was getting to where I think the Lord is doing with us, you know, because getting to the things in our within our heart that needs to be dealt with, right? Nothing about to condemn us or to you know, make us feel bad about ourselves. But if you're serious and you are serious about His kingdom, and you're serious about entering into this thing that Jesus said, you know, that you become even the one of the backwards things is becoming more childlike. You know, two Sundays ago we were here worshiping and just kind of praying in the spirit there at the altar, and I just was see like dancing around us and just a bunch of children, you know, like light was like the glory of God, almost like the, you know, amount of transfiguration, just this bright, and just these children were dancing around us and like lifted us up. And I knew what the Lord was saying. You know, I knew he was saying that, you know, we will see his glory more clearly the more childlike we become, you know. And of course, my mind goes to, because the Lord speaks to me in pictures. I used to really like during the 70s, Mork and Mindy show, right? And Mork was from that, from Ork, right? And on Ork, the older you were, the younger you were, right? The older you looked, actually you were younger. And as you got older, you got younger, right? Kind of like those things. It's a backwards thing. And that's what I was thinking. This is the kingdom of God. The older we get in the Lord, the younger we should become. The more simple the kingdom should become. Not complicated. Very simple, right? And God is not the God of confusion. He's God of simple and peace. So it's about becoming childlike. And if you want to learn about how children deal with relationships, they deal with relationships way better than we do, right? They may get upset, but they get over it immediately. They don't hold grudges, right? They live in a world of imagination and fantasy, and everything is big, right? That's where the Lord's taken us. So as we do this, and that's what I'm going to be talking about for the next few weeks, just different kingdom principles. So the Lord can just remind me. You know, anything I talk about up here is because he's speaking it to me first. And remember I told you to pay attention to numbers, pay attention to things around you. God is just speaking, songs, radio, you know, not necessarily just Christian. But yesterday I went to Carter Drugs to pick up something. And it was kind of late there, and I was sitting on the chair, and looked over, and there was this nickel there someone had left on the bench. And the Lord speaks to me a lot in that, because of five number of grace, right? And the Lord was like, pay attention to the date on that nickel. So I turned it over, could see it, you know, it was 2021 or something. And the Lord told me which book of the Bible to go to and pay attention to verses 20 and 21, right? Just blew me away because it was exactly what I would have been praying and seeking him about, right? So that's part of being in the kingdom. That's childlike. That's being in the kingdom. God speaks to like that, right? Just doesn't speak only in his word. Thank goodness for the word because it kind of keeps us grounded. But we live in a upside down world in the kingdom. So pay attention. Pay attention to what the Lord is doing around you, what he's saying to you, because he's bringing us into this bigger place, this bigger view of Narnia than we've ever known before. And we want it all, right? So he'll be so glad to show you the things you got to drop to get the more, to get through there, right?